This is 91.9 KVCR. Good morning. I'm Ken Vincent. On Fridays, we hear from Press Enterprise columnist Cassie McDuff, reviewing a few of the big news stories over the past week in the Inland Empire. Good morning, Cassie.
Good morning, Ken.
Well, the big news story of the past week was, of course, the election. There was a statewide election and a few local contests around here. First of all, we had the California presidential primary, so people were able to vote for their choices for president. And also, we had the U.S. Senate contest. And you did a little research to see how voters in San Bernardino County voted for president and U.S. Senate versus how voters in Riverside County voted for president and U.S. Senate. And when I say how, it's not necessarily how they cast their votes, but what was the research? What did you find?
Well, interestingly, both inland counties voted a little more conservatively than the rest of the state. Bernie Sanders did better throughout the rest of the state on average compared to Riverside and San Bernardino counties. So that benefited Hillary Clinton. She got 66.6% in Riverside County, 57.2% in San Bernardino County, but only 55.8% state average. Trump, on the other hand, did better in the two counties than he did statewide. In other words, more people throughout the rest of California voted for some of the other candidates who, even though they had withdrawn, were still on the ballot. Ted Cruz, John Kasich. So Trump got almost 84% in Riverside County, almost 80% in San Bernardino County, and just 73.3% throughout the rest of the state. The same held true in the U.S. Senate race, where Kamala Harris and Loretta Sanchez have emerged as the top two. They got fewer votes in the two inland counties than they did. And Duff Sundheim, kind of the lead Republican candidate, did a little better in the two inland counties than he did throughout the rest of the state.
And what was remarkable, which everybody noted, is that we have two Democrats and two women who are going to be running for U.S. Senate on the November ballot. And we had at least one race locally that was interesting in that way, too. Incumbent Assemblywoman Cheryl Brown is going to be facing her challenger, Eloise Reyes. Anything interesting about that?
Well, it's interesting that a Democrat challenged an incumbent Democrat. That doesn't usually happen. Reyes took a chance, and she did very well. Reyes also did pretty well a couple of years ago when she ran for Congress. There was an empty seat, and she did not emerge as one of the top two, but she did very well. She was the second top vote getter as a Democrat. So now Reyes and Brown will face off just as Harris and Sanchez will.
And remarkably enough, all four are women of color.
Right. You know, Ken, I just want to make one more comment about California's top two primary. It's still a little bit controversial. The very first year that it was used in 2012, in one district, a congressional district, two Republican white males ended up facing off against each other. And what can happen here is that people of the losing party who don't have anybody on the ballot can feel a little bit disenfranchised. Mm, yeah. They don't have anybody of their party to vote for.
Mm, yeah, interesting. I'll look for the graduate research on that subject before too long. Let's move to Riverside. They had a fairly significant election in Riverside. They reelected Mayor Rusty Bailey, and I think the big surprise was the margin of victory that he got. Six people in the race, and Rusty gets not just 50 plus one, but he gets like nearly two-thirds of the vote.
Right. You know, and it became apparent very early in the polling. And our reporter was at an election night party for him. And I think after the first round of balloting, when the count became so clearly his victory, he made a little speech, thanked his supporters, thanked God, and then took off his shoes and jumped into the pool. Made a celebratory cannonball into the pool.
Now, you know, Rusty, it was his first term, and he's been kind of dogged by criticism from the city council and other activists. Do you think this gives him some political capital, some new political capital to swing around Riverside City Hall?
Oh, I would certainly think it shows that the public is behind him, the voting public is behind him. So, yeah, maybe he'll exercise a little bit of that political capital.
And the ballot races in Riverside, one was to give the city attorney prosecutorial powers, and the other was to raise council members' salaries. Neither one of those passed.
Yeah, we talked last week about how the timing is just not good for either of those, with the city in a budget deficit. And indeed, Measure A, the misdemeanor prosecution measure, failed by about two-thirds margin. And Measure B, the pay raise, it went down by 83%.
That was a big no.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Measure E in Hemet.
Well, you know, in Riverside County, there are still 128,000 provisional votes to be counted, or damaged ballots that in some way need to be hand counted.
So they're still holding out hope.
Well, you know, it's so close. It's a 1% sales tax that the Hemet voters were asked to levy on themselves for public safety. It would be it would bring in about $10 million a year and enable the city to add 39 additional police officers. There have been a lot of concerns about crime and public safety in Hemet.
We've talked about that before, yes.
Sure. And voters, about two-thirds, almost two-thirds of them already have approved that measure. It can't win until it actually crosses that threshold. And so we don't know how many of those 128,000 outstanding votes are in the city of Hemet, but we'll see.
Press Enterprise columnist Cassie McDuff, thank you.
Thank you, Ken.